I want to thank you all for being here this morning. The hungry ones. Thank you. Thank you very much. I just really want to thank Pastors John and Kirsten for just being here and allowing us to be here. Thank you so much. So much. We have history together, this ministry and the ministry God's given me in charge of for many years. I remember when, it was in the late 90s when I came to Golden. Well, no, actually up in the Evergreen area first and then Golden. So much was going on. But you know, so much is going on right now. Right now in God's kingdom, so much is going on. And it's like he has drawn a line in the sand. Thank you. So what are you going to do? Are you going to cross that line? You going to stay behind the line? Are you going to test the waters by dipping your foot, your toe over the line and stepping back, staying in a safe place? You know, you are in a safe place if you're with God. No matter what assignment he's given you. I want to read to you out of the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and seen has not entered into the heart of man. God has prepared and made and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him, promptly obeying him, promptly and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed." If you wrote that scripture text down, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But then that will take you to Isaiah 64, 4 and Isaiah 65, 17. And then I want to read to you out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. This is what Apostle Paul prayed for us. "For I always pray to God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory." He said he always prayed. I believe he's still always praying. "That he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you may know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones." That's a lot. Does he truly have an inheritance in you? That's an individual question. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. "Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, our highest desires, our highest thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So be it. So be it in the name of the Lord. So be it in the name of our God who would put himself on the inside of us to do the work that Jesus did. And it is so fair, right, true, and just, because if they're on the inside of us, we can do that work. There is no if or maybe or I think or any doubting, forget it. It's not going to happen, because he doesn't bless that which is loaded with doubt. Because doubt and faith wrestle against each other. Doubt is in the flesh. Faith is in the spirit. Faith is beyond that and reaching towards that which we have no, we have an assurance in our heart that it is so. However, we haven't seen it yet. But it doesn't matter, because in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that they died not having seen that which they stood for. Now, let me move that into the prophetic. This is a Jimmyism. There are prophecies that we have received that we will not see the conclusion in this realm, because we live eternally. What makes us think that every prophecy we get is going to be fulfilled here and now? This is a Jimmyism, but I believe it's strong revelation from the Lord. If it says that they died not having seen everything that they waited for, knew about, heard of, they died, yet we know they live eternally. They are seeing them. See, I don't think about or have anxiety about all the prophecies that have been given to me, because I have an eternal life and I will fulfill those prophecies as I'm walking in eternity. Whether I'm walking in eternity in the universe, doing exacting things that God wants me to do, which is already written in my book, or whether I get to come here and do them, or whether I just get to be in heaven on a council and make sure they're being done. We need to change our way of thinking. And then we'll be, won't be so quick to say false prophet or false word. Because we forget that we are eternal creatures. And eternal creatures never die. I watched a movie, a lot of people have heard me talk about, but I love watching the movie Lucy. I watch it over and over and over again. And Lucy is about a young woman who was tricked into doing something for somebody that she met. They didn't even know each other that well. And she decided something was wrong with him. So she felt it, I believe, prophetically. This is I call it a prophetic movie. And she was going to walk away from him, and he took some handcuffs that she didn't see he had and hooked it to her wrist, which was hooked to this attaché case that he was carrying. And she was to take it into a hotel and deposit it there. Well, she didn't want to do it, so she wrestled about it. There's nothing she could do about it because he had hooked her to this case. And now she can't get unhooked from this case. This is talking to somebody. She can't get unhooked. So she goes into the hotel and she says, she goes to the front desk, and he said, the gentleman, the attendant, asked her, you know, basically what's up. And she said, she's here to give a package to so-and-so. So he calls that so-and-so, and he was nervous. So he calls, and the person he spoke to said, he wants to know your name. And she said, I was sent by such and such, the person that hooked her to the case. Listen very carefully. So she didn't want to give her name. So the attendant said, he wants to know your name. And the attendant is even more frightful. And she says, Lucy. And he said, Lucy what? She said, Lucy. So he put the phone down. And she said, I think you better wait right here. So while they are in the interim, they show a video clip of leopards, I believe it was leopards, and they're chasing the young deer. Off the elevator comes these big guys, and you know, they slow the video down. They're walking, these big guys, and she looks over and she gets more afraid, and these big guys are coming. She knows something's up, something's not right. Then they go back to the video clip. The leopard or whichever cat that was caught the deer and had the deer in its mouth. So they're showing you a scenario of what's about to happen. So they take her upstairs, and the maid comes out of the room and does this and goes back in the room. And she saw that. And they're dragging her, just her toes are touching the floor. So all of a sudden, she's in the, going to university. All of a sudden, her life has shifted based on relationship. Totally shifted. She knew this guy for like a week or so. And he had trickery. So then she goes into this room, and when she goes into this room, she looks to the side, and she sees two legs sticking out full of blood all over them, and she gets more afraid. So they drag her over and sit her in a chair, and then the leader comes out. He's got blood on his glasses, blood on his face, but he's in a nice suit. You can tell it probably cost about $20,000, seriously, and his hands are bloody. He comes out and stands here, and somebody brings a water bottle and just pours it on his hands and gets the blood off and gives him a handkerchief, and he wipes it off. Then he goes over to Lucy, who's entrapped now. They don't speak any English. So he calls down to the front desk and puts it on speaker so that that same attendant will talk between him and Lucy. So he says, "What's in the case?" She said she doesn't know, because she doesn't know what's in the case. So back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So all of a sudden, he tells his guys, the head guy with the blood on his head, he tells them to go to the back of the room. They put these big glass, plastic helmets on. They can see through them. And they have guns. And then the attendant says, he said, open the case. So she opens, she didn't know. So the attendant gave the head person gave the attendant the code, and he gave it to Lucy. Lucy undoes the code. She said, why won't he open it himself? First, she said that. That's when they pull the guns. In such sequence, it was like, choo, they all pull their gun out at once. Sound like one click. They had been trained to be one. They had been trained to be one. That's an element we've missed in the earth. Then she opens the case very nervously. She opens it, and there are four packets in plastic of blue-purple substance. So now we know that's drugs. So he says, what's in the case? The guy, the attendant on the phone. She says, blue-purple packets. Then the attendant says it to the head guy and all of his guys, which can hear him, but they're in the back of the room with the guns and these things on in case it explodes. Because they didn't trust the guy that was outside that was supposed to bring the case in. By the way, they shot him at the front of the hotel. And Lucy saw it after she was in there by the attendant. I forgot that part. So now she knows she's in real deep hock. So then what happens is the leader bends over and says, I have a job for you. And she says, I don't want a job. And he slapped her. And then the scene changes. And when you see it again in the next 10 seconds, she's laying in the bed. She sets up and she goes, oh. They slit her open from here to here and put a whole packet in. So they can tell she woke up because they just know cameras or whatever. So they drag her back out to the front, and all of a sudden they drag three guys out, and they've all been cut open and sewed up with these packets. So she gets on the plane, and they're taken to four different nations. I'm going somewhere with this. They go to four different nations, and the nation that she went, all of them were going to be operated on a few minutes after they landed and got through customs and the packets taken out of drugs. Millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of drugs. However, Lucy, on her way there, where they put her was in this room. It almost looked like a prison room. And somebody wanted, a man wanted to mess with her. And she, you know, they had her hooked to a chain and she did something and he slapped her. Well, when he slapped her, she fell on the floor and he started kicking her. The packet busted open in her. So he goes out. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know that. Locks the door. And during this time, her brain is increasing beyond 10%. So the drug, she started seeing things and all things that she had never seen. And she, her body crawls up the wall and on the ceiling and all of that. And so when the guy comes back in, she's sitting in the chair like nothing's happened. And so she sits down in the chair and he looks at her. She makes him think, yeah, I want you. He comes over to her and she whips the heck out of him because of her increase. So the drugs, believe it or not, represent Holy Spirit. So now her brain's increasing to 20%, 30%, 40%. Well, shift over, there's a professor. Anybody remember Morgan Freeman? He's the professor. And he's given this synopsis to all these medical people out there, hundreds of medical people. So they shift to that. And he's saying about the brain. He doesn't know Lucy. Lucy don't know him. And he's talking about when we get to a certain place in our brain, how we'll be able to do this, this, that, and the other. And actually, there are people in the world that live like that today. So then when he... Lucy, it goes on and her brain's increasing. Now she can hear phone conversations when she's in a car and see people across the street on their cellular phone. She can hear what they're saying. She can see the life inside of a tree all the way down to its roots underground. She sees that it's alive. The tree is alive. So then Lucy, her she constantly increases and increasing. She goes and visits her sister and she hugs her sister. And she knows all the sickness that's in her sister's body. She gets on her sister's computer, and while she's looking up these, she's, you know, probably typing like 300 words a minute. And while she's doing that, her sister starts talking, and she starts saying what her sister is getting ready to say. Telepathy. Then she leaves, and she, while she was on the computer, she wrote out a script, whatever you do, a script when you ever go to the pharmacy and get your med. Prescription? Thank you. She wrote it out and it was in Chinese. And she gave it to her sister and she said, what is this? And when did you learn Chinese? And she said, you have this and that in your body. Take this to the doctor. You'll be okay. You'll be fine. And she left her sister looking like this. What happened? So moving forward, her brain increased so much, and while she was on her sister's computer, she was looking for anybody in the world who knew what was happening to her. So she found that doctor, Morgan Freeman. What he did was worked in labs, and he looked, you know, looking for cures and things, but it was all about the brain. So she calls him up, and when she calls him up, she tells him how many pages is of his books, how many pages are in the book of each book that he's written. And he says, is this my, you know, he named his daughter. He says, this is my daughter's, one of my daughter's friends playing a joke because it was too far-fetched. And then she turned the TV on from wherever she was in the world. The TV came on, that much power. She did something with the clock, the phone rung, et cetera, the lights flicked. Because the more powerful your brain gets, the more you're able to do. And these are things he was just teaching. And someone asked him, what happens when your brain gets to 100%? He said, wow, I don't know. So fast forwarding to the very end of the story, the head guy and his people are coming after Lucy. She's sitting in a chair. She's in the lab with Morgan Freeman and some other doctors. And by then, the walls had come out. She's sitting in a chair. The guy is walking up to her to shoot her in the back of the head. But by now, her brain is 100%, and she disappears. So this is the moral of the story. The policeman that had been helping her to look for the guys. You should all get that movie. There's more to it than I can tell during this time. And he said, "Where is she?" And Morgan Freeman, and they were like, but before she disappeared, she opened her mouth and it was all light that came out. Just like on the movie Knowing, if you ever watched that one, Knowing, when he approached the angel, which he didn't know it was an angel, the angel opens his mouth and all light comes out. God said, that's what you are. It's light. And when she opened her mouth, sitting in a chair, and light, when she opened her mouth and everything became light, she disappeared. So when the policeman came and said, where is she? His phone rung. He looked and there was a text and it said, I am everywhere. And they showed the universe and they just showed like blood vessels, nothing or, you know, weird. And they just showed where life was in the universe and it was her life. But I'm telling you, that's where we're headed. But not if you don't know who you are. Not if you're not moving in the vein of being the manifestations that the earth is crying out for. She became the manifestations. When all these guys were running after her in the hospital hallway, the one guy said, raise your hands up. She raised, she did this. And all of them got slain in the spirit. She just did like this, said, raise your hands. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. It's beyond what we can comprehend. If you really want to go there, look at someone and say, I really want to go there. Now, it might seem like I got off track. I don't think so. Because I thought that movie really depicted more or less the life. And I was in the World Prayer Center many, many years ago with Chuck Pierce and Peter Wagner and all of them. And Chuck Pierce was writing on the board. We were in just a regular meeting in the office, like a board meeting. And he stopped like frozen. We're behind him. And he turns around and says to us, God said, begin to watch Hollywood, because he's going to have them producing prophetic movies I don't remember everything else, but he said. And I've been looking them up ever since. Go back and watch The Matrix. You know, rewatch the Shack, because they were in heaven. He was in heaven. It's just a lot of them out there. San Andreas and 2012, and I mean, it's so many out there. I like to watch the ones that depict who we are. Knowing is one of those. Knowing, like Knowing. Yeah, it's very, very good. She knew the dates, how many of accidents in the future, way beyond her death, and she knew the location of the accident and how many people would be killed. Because she heard the whisperers. They called them the whispers. It was the angels talking to her. It's interesting. So God says, all this is going on. How come you haven't activated your assignment? In Corinthians chapter 1 and in Corinthians chapter 3, he's saying everything we need to do. No, that everything that he has for us is beyond what we could ever think or ask. So if it's beyond what we could ever think or ask, what we can think or ask is, we think that's vast. It really isn't, compared to what he already has for us, because no eye or has seen it or ear has heard it. So he's saying to us, basically, what are we going to do? It's a mind-boggling prayer that Apostle Paul prayed, and I believe he's still praying. So this is the key. The first thing that I want you to remember today and never forget is God will meet you at the level of your expectation. Bottom line. Expect to look for, to look forward, to anticipate what's coming, to consider probable, certain, the act of anticipating. This is what expect means. Anticipating what will happen. I can say for sure that I have met, God has met me at my level of expectation in times past, and it was low. Because you walk out what you have faith for every day. You walk that out. Either that or the word's not true. If you believe, you receive. People say, well, there's so many things that have happened to me in my life. Yes, there are. Our trying ground, our proving ground, our testing ground, whatever you want to say about it. There isn't anyone in here that can't say, no one knows the troubles I've seen. There isn't anyone in here that can't say that. So after that, I said that, now what's your reasoning? Last night we talked about discerning process. The discerning process is a very, I call it like a persnickety little item in us. We can disc what God is giving us to discern in a heartbeat because he gives us the authority to do it. Or we can utilize that and increase so that the next thing we need to discern is even smaller. But when you discern that, you've increased. It may be smaller in appearance, but the largeness of it and the magnitude is greater than the other thing you discerned. You all are awfully quiet. This is what I say, eat the meat and chew it good so that it can go down inside of you, because God is looking for people that will do that, that it'll stick. He said, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh and it doesn't stick. People complain about the words I've given them, and the more they complain, the more they won't receive that word. The more. See, you can complain by just telling your friend, I received that word about 10 years ago. What happened? That's a complaint. The song about no more time, I thought that was very interesting. That was your dream last night?
Yes.
Quick share? Like a 3-minute share?
I have a prophetic word that I gave 20 years ago with Chuck Pierce and Nancy Cohen in the room, and they came up to me and prophesied over me regarding the word that I gave. And just a little tidbit, we are going to go through the Israel coming out of Egypt again. That's what's coming. And this testing that we've been going through is to build our resolve so that we can go through that process. And so the Lord last night was showing me more of that process of what's coming. And it was in this song.
In this song, out of slavery. Thank you. Did everybody catch that? Pretty much? Didn't the song, His Heart Beats for You? It is. It's a song that puts us in an awe of just laying down on the floor, not wanting to even turn over or get up, because his heart beats for us. Now, if my heart beats for somebody, I want to see you doing something. Like, my heart was beating for you in 2016. It's still beating for you. What are you doing today? Oh, you're still doing the same thing we did in 2016? Really? That's what he's saying. Entering the Holy of Holies, there's nothing like it. Now, one time when I was listening to that song, I saw myself crawling on the floor from the outer court, and I had to crawl up the steps. I saw this in a vision while I was listening to the song. I had to crawl up the steps. I got on the flat part, and then I was crawling more. But by now, I'm dragging my body. I'm not really crawling even on my knees. But the closer you got, the lower you got. When you're crawling, at least you're up on your knees. But when you get on the floor, you're pulling, trying to get there. Trying to get to that place where he'll change me in that place. And that I can't even believe I could get there with what's on me. And yet he's willing to do it. Because now we can just go in. My God, we can just go in now. We need to rejoice in that, because there was a day and a time you could not go in without someone intervening for you. And we need to intervene for others right now, because there are many that are lost that we need to be intervening for so they can learn to go in. They have to go in. What we do is we get lackadaisical, like Pastor John was saying. I mean, I've been in places years ago where the prophetic was going. If somebody got a word, everybody just cheered. They were so happy. Now it's like, I sure hope I get word. That's awful. That's what we've become. I like that. Well, I don't, but it's true. Consumers, self-centered, very, very into me. Me, 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 me. Remember, I talked about that last night. People in churches, all about me. Pastor isn't meeting my needs. I want to know where it's written in the scriptures that they have to meet your needs. Where did that come from? Today, I'm going to talk just a snippet about word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is what Jesus Christ got when he saw Nathanael under the fig tree. Nathanael asked him, he said, how did you know I was there? He said, because I saw you before I got here. The Lord told me. A word of knowledge is what Samuel got for Saul. We talked about this last night. What he got for Saul in, I believe, 1 Samuel chapter 9. Man, when you have the Amplified, you have to be looking through. This is... But he got a word that now the day before Saul came, this is 1 Samuel 9:15. The day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed to Samuel in his ear. Some scripture texts say showed him in his ear. Interesting, isn't it? How people want to separate the prophetic, like, oh, I'm a seer. Oh, I'm a Nabi. No, I'm a Shose. Oh, no, I'm a Shamar. Oh, no, so what? Who cares? Be what God's called you to be and grow. I mean, I'm anything God wants me to be for anybody or any people wherever I go. Unless I shy away from it, which I have. But I'm what he wants me to be wherever I go. Be willing to be who he wants you to be wherever you go. Stop saying things like, oh, that's not me. I can't hear like, if you say you can't hear like that, you're right. So he came to Samuel, the Lord. Tomorrow about this time, this is what the Lord is saying. I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be a leader over my people Israel, of the land of Philistines. For I have looked upon the distress of my people, because their cry has come up to me. That was a sad time for God, because they were crying for someone, and God had begged them to let it be him. People like that today. Oh, no, we want a flesh. And God told them what would happen to them if they had a king like the other lands. What is that? We still do it. God's trying to tell us to go this way and be aligned with this people. And then, yeah, we want to go over here and be aligned with that people or whatever. And then it's like he didn't speak to us and I know better. I, Jimmy Reed, knows nothing but Christ. He was crucified and he was raised from the dead. And now he talks to me. And so I'm trying to hear him. That's basically all I know, because everything else I know is written in here. And if I don't get it in here, then I don't know any of it. You know how you know if you got it in here? Because you're walking it out. If you just have it in here, you're not going to walk it out. So word of knowledge is that little infinite little. I've been in groups where somebody got a word of knowledge and it was just so simple, like, I see a red bicycle. Everybody's looking like, that's crazy. And the instructions ahead of time was, if the word of knowledge that is given fits you, step out. Let that person minister to you, because God has something for you, because they only know because of God. So somebody will step out in the middle of the little circle, and they'll say, that's for me. You know, they're kind of maybe embarrassed. It's only 3 or 4 people. That's for me. And they'll tell their story, and like, because I only give you like a minute to tell your story because of time. And it'd be phenomenal, which you can, the word of knowledge is not for you. So it doesn't matter if it sounds stupid. I'll tell you what, you're a prophet, because the word says when you minister in the gifts, you profit, everybody profits with all. That means the person profits that got received the word. You profit because you gave the word and now you're on increase. So it's a dual setup from God. That's exactly what it is. So we can't. Yes, there's lots of words Jimmy Reed has not given. Lots of words. But you know, I stand behind that scripture that says it's subject to the prophet. I think, okay, you gave me that out and I'm going to take it. It's true. So true. Man, I can't believe I said that. Is this the truth-bearing church? You know, like on Wonder Woman, they put that rope around you. You had to tell the truth. It's like, what is this? All I can say is God wants to use his people, and he's really crying out, what is your level of expectation from him? Do you really believe what I said? Do you believe what I believe? If you believe what I believe, you're on the right track, and you're going to accomplish and achieve that which I believe, even if it's into the heavens. So Lucy ended up being in eternity. Now look at all she knows. And she's living in eternity. We're living in eternity now, yes. But look at what she knows. Look what she went through. And now she's unstoppable. I'd like to think that I'm unstoppable. Anybody else would like to be unstoppable? Because after that, she was totally unstoppable. Nothing could stop her. First of all, they couldn't find her because she was gone. I know some people that went on a missions trip and they really walked, they walked through the gates with people with AR-15s and they didn't see them. I know live people today. You do too, Tommy. 3 of them. Can't say because we're on Facebook Live. When you get to that measure, the increase is phenomenally beyond what we could think or ask. My God, I just want us for one moment to pray within ourselves, or open your mouth and pray and ask God, just repent for where we've placed ourselves. We've placed ourselves in these boxes that are like, if we want to be in a box, we get to be in a box. If you want to be in a box that's your height and width, you can do that. If you want to be in a box that's a little bit wider, you can do that. If you want to be in a box that's really wide, or if you want to be out of the boundaries, crossing the borders, You can do it. So I want you to take a moment of silence and where's our keyboardist? Just take a moment, seriously, because we're getting ready to shift, and repent to God about where you've allowed yourself to be. Don't say to yourself, now don't start making up things like, well, I'm not there because I've been asking God and doing the best I can all along. Something's not right, or his word's a lie. So take a moment and repent. Ask him to forgive you. Who is it? It was on video footage. Andrew Womack. He told the Lord. The Lord said, "You have held me back." Now, all of that ministry that he has, he said it broke open when he told God he wanted out of the boundaries. He wanted all the boundaries taken away. But he said he'd never done that. And he's a man I honor. But that's when he exploded like he has. I went to do a video for Push, Pray Until Saturation Happens. And it was in his new building right there off of this one in Colorado Springs. Carriage. It's the last road you get on 83 right by the New Life Church and World Prayer Center. InterQuest is right there. Huge, beautiful building. And that's where they were taping. But he started, they hadn't even moved in yet. They were just getting ready to start services. This was only like in the December this past year. And he said he told God, because God told him, he said, "You've kept me in boundaries." Basically, I don't remember exact words. God told him that he kept God from expanding him. So while you're repenting, next, tell God you're willing to be expanded. Tell him you're willing to take all the boundaries off. You're willing for the borders to be widened, but only if you're willing. So let's do that while she's playing for us, and then we're going to shift.
I want to add one quick thing to that. There's my favorite quote from C.S. Lewis is from his book, The Four Loves. And then pray. He says, to love it all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies, little luxuries, avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe. And this is the box. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in the casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. And love is that thing which destroys fear. Love and fear are opposites. So break off the fear by love.
Wow. So let's just sit in silence for a moment. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace, your love, your willingness to keep giving us opportunity. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yeshua. We thank you for coming so that we would know. That we would know that when you came and you begin to say that you are the Son of Man, and we knew you were the Son of God, and everything you did it as the Son of Man. You spoke it to us yourself, and others spoke it, calling you the Son of Man many times. And yet you are working in miracles and deliverance and healing and all types of giftings that came from you as a man. Your word says in John chapter 1 that the word came and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It also says that nothing came without coming through you. We desire to be like trees planted beside rivers of living water, and that we yield much fruit. Let us be something that people can walk up to and say, wow, I want to pluck from that. And when they eat from it, they say, this tastes good. And that it be healing for the nations. So I say to you that have said, Lord, I forgive me and I want out of the box. I will begin to shake and move you into positions that you never thought of, says God. For my word is true and my word is pure. My word is sure and it is solid and set. Oh, don't take everything as a yes. Seek me. And when I say go, you go, says God. Do not participate in everything. Do not try to partake of everything, says the Lord. The Lord says, I called you for a special purpose. Remember, I have a book. And it has you in it. And the you that's in it is what I'm revealing. And as I begin to reveal to you that's in the book, you will grow and you will go and you will become more happy and more joyous as my glory is flowing through you like never before. Do not be like my servant Jonah, who was unhappy with what assignment I gave him. There have been many of you in that same place where I said do and you didn't do, and you suffered tremendous trepidation. Oh, I didn't cause it, says the Lord. You opened the door because you sought and you asked. I gave and you rejected. But I'm here now, as I will always be. So remember, when I'm with you, it's just you and me. And everything that I've given you to do, I shall be with you. Did not my son speak that to you in the word? And there will be signs and wonders and miracles that will be produced out of it, says the Lord. So the Lord says, don't forget this word this day. For this is a solid word. And I set my boundaries around my word, but not man. Mankind has no right to set boundaries around my word. Father, we thank you for this word. We call it done and sealed. So what I'm going to ask you to do right now is take out a piece of paper or your tablet and a pen or pencil. The Spirit of the Lord is really flowing right now. And I'm going to give you the first two words to write. If you're a woman, you can write my daughter or my son. And if you're a man, write my son, comma. And don't write anything else right now. You're going to journal what God is saying to you right now at this moment. So, Father, I release that spirit of prophecy in a great way, Lord, that they can hear from you. They will hear from you. Whether it's seeing or hearing or sensing, they will know, and they shall write what you have for them. I give you 3 minutes to write. You may begin. Have a minute left. Hard to do, isn't it? It's amazing.